what we talk about. What else do I have? I have to remember how to do all these things. That is the right one. Okay, there we go. Okay, I got the right one. We're in. I got to have buttons to push. As always, we want to thank our sponsors of the show, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Palmer Group. I have to tell you a quick story. Excuse me. So we did our show live last Wednesday. Is that right? Or was it Wednesday? Yeah, it was Wednesday.
It was Wednesday. We were Wednesday at Wells Fargo.
Wells Fargo for the IMT marathon run, and we have some swag.
Yes.
And it was an Iowa Wolves game and the whole thing. So suffice it to say that while my wife the next morning was looking through Facebook,
yes,
not flag guy, but the other gentleman is a family friend.
Oh, really?
He didn't realize it was me, and I didn't realize it was him. It is Denise Lee's brother.
Oh, gotcha.
Really interesting that...
So, to reiterate, that they did an indoor 26.2 marathon on the upper concourse to promote the IMT marathon coming up later in the year. And there was four people. It was invite only. And the one dude, flag guy was
awesome.
The other one. He had an American flag
on a
flagpole.
Bionic woman who was just running.
She was, six laps behind everybody else, and she caught him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she caught him. Want to thank Melissa Merrifield.
Absolutely.
And Chip Albright. We had a blast. Chip is such a good dude. Saw him again on Saturday. He stopped up. We were, Jen and I. I'm trying to think if anybody else went with us or if it was just Jen and I. Might have just been Jen and I. Nope, Zach and Hannah came with us.
Very nice.
Yeah, went to Hilton. Kind of that's our thing. Go to Hilton, have a couple of drinks. Go to Wells Fargo, come back to Hilton, the hotel there.
I was going to say, went to Ames?
No, by 611 Fifth. It's pretty cool, except for... There was a dance competition
At the Iowa event.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my Lord. I'm glad I have boys.
My niece from North Liberty was at that dance competition.
I guarantee you she was.
No, I take that back. She was up in Ames. She was at Stevens. Anyway.
Yeah.
Very busy town.
A lot going on. But I want to thank them. It was, we sat up in the Demos. We were up in the loft. It's called the loft. You go up. You get tickets up there. You're on the upper deck. You can go wherever you can walk and go wherever you want, but free drinks, free food. It was a great time.
Oh, I know. Yeah. We've been up there.
Yep. Kind of a really cool, just different way to watch the game. And you can, it gives you the opportunity to be able to sit up there and have a conversation too, because you're not just like, bah, it's so loud. So,
I know. We'll talk about it when Randy gets in here, obviously, because we've got opening day coming up for the iCubs. I'm like, oh, okay. So I pulled up this week's weather.
Oh, my God. Look how nice it's. Oh.
Okay. We got Monday. Tomorrow's around 49. Tuesday, 50. Ooh, Wednesday swings back down to 39. Mm. Rebound on Thursday. For 60, Friday, 70, but an 80% chance of thunderstorms.
Nice.
Saturday, 49 for a high. What a teeter-totter.
It is. So we are going out to Vegas, and we've doubled down. So Kathy and Aaron and Jen and I, my brother-in-law, sister-in-law, and my wife, we're going out to see Sting.
Yes.
And we doubled down. My wife convinced me in a very weak moment. We doubled down. If you had to guess, knowing my wife and knowing a concert being in Las Vegas, who do you think is the other person that we're going to go see while we're in Las Vegas?
Neil Diamond.
Close.
Barry Manilow.
Too old.
Oh.
Go a little younger.
Carrot Top.
Donny Osmond.
Oh, I am so sorry. I mean, hey.
Hey, that's a great day.
Woo!
Yeah, so it's going to be exciting.
I can go a lot of different ways with that, but yeah, I think I'll just leave it alone.
I could do it, but she'd be mad at me. She was just like, well, can we go? And I'm like, do you really want to go? Yeah, okay. But we don't have to go if you don't want to go. Oh, honey, I want to go.
this is a must.
Heckling.
Yes.
We can heckle.
No. They will throw you out. So.
Okay.
So did you watch any sports this weekend?
Yeah, no kidding. Biggest sport over the weekend for you?
Iowa women. Iowa women. It was awesome.
I heard somebody today say, they actually said this, is she the most visible or recognizable and popular athlete in the state of Iowa? And I'm like, she's the most recognizable female athlete in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the state of Iowa. Let's see what, Aaron, they serve drinks there.
You'll be fine. Wait a minute. They serve drinks at a Donny Osmond concert?
Yeah, it's the new Donny Osmond. He's got a beard, long hair. No, I have no idea.
Heavens.
No,
heavens.
She is the, I mean, I thought the game that she had in the Big Ten final, number one, I think they should have deserved a number one seed, but it didn't matter. They're still here.
Right.
I thought a 30-point triple-double. It doesn't get any better than that, right? Oh, my God.
40-point.
A 40-point triple-double.
Right.
Not forcing shots.
No.
8 of 17 from three.
Right. Her passes are just insane. The stuff that's half a no-look around to Cezanne, and it's just wow.
Somebody ripped on me on social media. Oh, she had 8 turnovers. Did you see the passes that she was trying to make? And they're up 16. She was having fun.
Yes.
And I thought the best picture, and I thought this was really funny. So they're down warming up, and they're in Seattle, and Sue Bird comes down on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, and you see all Caitlin's teammates, Gabby, Warnock, Kate mm-hmm. Martin, Hannah Stolke, and Shizano, and they're all looking at her, and they got their hands over their face, trying to figure out what they're going to do. And Caitlin walks up, high fives her, turns around and starts shooting again. And all these girls are just staring there at her. And it's like, Caitlin's like, yeah, Sue Bird and I actually know each other. You know, it was so funny, but how she handles that type of pressure, Scott, is it's just unreal.
I don't think she even considers it pressure.
I don't think she does either. And the craziest thing was the coach of Louisville. And I'm going to tell you, the gal that she's friends with from Louisville that played is a hell of a basketball player.
Right.
And I'm not kidding you. She's way more cocky than Caitlin is, man. She yapped the whole game. I loved it. I'm like watching absolutely. Her going, yes,
it was.
That's what women basketball needs. But the coach who coached them when they were playing the 18 and under, and they brought Caitlin
right.
up.
Right.
And
she didn't play that much.
She didn't play that much either. So she said, this was kind of payback. And he goes, oh, that I've seen her do things. I think this best quote was, I've seen all of her stuff she does here. You should see what she can do in practice. And he said the same thing that Holly Rowe said and what Lisa Bluter says and Jan Jensen. They don't have to have film because they can talk about a play on a piece of paper in the minute and the time. And look at Caitlin and go, yeah, I missed on that one. I should have got the ball to Kate.
Oh, yeah.
They did this backward reverse screen and I didn't get the ball to her. And all the other players are looking at her going, what are you doing? But it was cool. It was a great win. That's, I mean, 8-0. Start the game out 8-0. You're down.
But it there was no concern. No. There was no panic. There was no, a 10 or a 10-0 or a 12-0 run in a blink of an eye in those games.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I think the thing that I said after watching, now I've seen like that's like 6 games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And I you know, she plays okay defense, but her help defense and her stealing aspect of defense is amazing. Mm-hmm. We already know what kind of offensive player she is. We know what kind of leader she is and all that. The thing that I got, and so I started going back and looking at, you know, going and pulling videos up of other players, Taurasi and Sue Bird and all those guys. The greatest thing that I think she has is the ability to get a rebound on the defensive end, and in a split second, she's at full speed dribbling either hand around her back, between her legs, and she's in the lane,
right,
either passing or scoring before everybody else gets down the floor. And I'm like, I don't know how she does it.
She's explosive. It's just that. That talent and will that, I mean, like you said, it's just, you blink of an eye and she's already in the lane.
Yeah.
It is super cool. I mean,
it's the story in the country. It's her.
It is. I mean,
and it's a tough task because, I mean, you can hope and pray that South Carolina doesn't win that game. I don't think we just don't match up well with South Carolina. Two bigs. It's going to be interesting though, because we're a better team than we were last year.
Right.
So it'll be fun to see, but I think the NCAA women's, I think we've gone from last year going, you know, they didn't have the same equipment and they didn't have this and they didn't have that.
Right.
I don't think the NCAA women's tournament
that's an issue anymore.
Is worrying about anything because they have the better teams in the Final Four, even though I love, and we'll talk about the men's here too, even though I love what happened on the men's side. And if they'd have been listening to our show with you and I on talking about that, we said number ones, number twos, number threes, number fours are no better than all the rest of them.
We did one, and I think we've got 14, 15 people or whatever that did brackets, and we don't have to watch any more games. The brackets are done. Yeah. There's every single person.
And somebody still won
out.
With like 92 points.
48.
48 points.
48 points because we did the 1, 2, 4, you know, stuff like that. But there, no one has any Final Four. Zero.
And I think the last 8 games that have been on TV on the men's have been phenomenal games. I don't even know. I don't even know how to explain it. How just watching it is.
Well, we got tonight. We got number one South Carolina women's against number two Maryland.
All right, two Big Ten schools trying to knock off big wigs. It's going to be interesting.
I don't know. Where do you go tonight? Do you think South Carolina is just too powerful?
I don't think they can stop them. And it's not Alea Boston. It's the other gal that is an amazing basketball player. Alea Boston is going to have a 10-year career, 12-year career in the WNBA, and nobody's even going to know who she is.
I know. But
the other girl is, I mean, she is, I mean, if she was not on a team with Alea Boston and how they're pushing Alea Boston, she would have been an All-American. I like watching her play. Here's the thing that I'll never say about South Carolina, and I love Dawn Staley. I think she's a great coach. I think she's a great leader of women. All that being said, and she pushes for her players, and I get that. And just to go back to the Iowa Hawkeye women one more time too, how tough and difficult for Jan Jensen. Lose your father the night before, come in. And she said the coolest thing. He's my family. This is my family. And I didn't want to be anywhere else except for with my family.
Right.
And if I would have done anything else, at some point in time, he was going to let me know that that wasn't the right thing to do.
Oh, exactly.
And that was pretty cool. I like that, too.
Yeah.
One more, just higher power. The fact that Alabama got ran with all the things that they had going on, that's the NCAA gods, karma, saying, yeah. Brandon Miller was... he was first team All-American, went through some with the whole, and he was 4 for 19. Eek.
Eek, he says.
Eek. Oh.
All right. We've got, obviously, LSU is locked in. Iowa's locked in. We get our other Final Four.
It's South Carolina, and I just had
South Carolina, Maryland tonight. Yeah.
South Carolina, Maryland. And then Virginia Tech, Ohio State.
Yep.
If Ohio State hits some threes, they have a shot. Virginia Tech's really talented. I mean, that's going to be a good game too.
It's must watch. I can't believe after we lost out of our connection in the men's tournament, I watch more women's tournament than I have men's tournament right now.
Oh, I have too. I've watched almost all of it. Just another quick. Just to touch on it, and maybe we can touch on it more tomorrow if we have another open segment.
Yep.
I have had multiple messages on Twitter, private messages on Twitter. Something's amiss up in Ames with Bill Finley losing four girls so far off that team. I can't tell you who my source is, but a couple more leaning that way.
Wow.
A couple more are waiting to see what those two, it's something's going on. He wouldn't go any more detail. And I love Bill Finley, and
the,
I love
the one gal that the one
Dynarski is.
Dynarski went through and said, "I love my team. I love Iowa State. I love this." And she didn't say a word.
Nobody on the coaching staff, not just the coach, but nobody on the whole coaching staff.
Exactly.
So something's amiss there, and never an easy thing. Bill Finley is a he's
on the Mount Rushmore in this there, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, he's on the Mount Rushmore there in the state, in the country, and college coaches.
Something's
amiss. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ, AM Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Randy Wehofer getting in here. We're going to talk some baseball, some Cubs baseball, Iowa Cubs baseball. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.
With Ada, ACO, and Chad.
Connect with Steen on sports at 1700thechamp.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Haven't talked to you guys for a while, so kind of excited about that. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing you your sports your way every day. Right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Scott Brower underscore 13, at Steen on Sports, and at 1700 The Champ. Randy Wehofer on his way in here. I got people waiting at the doors to get him in, and we'll have him for a couple of segments before it's opening week. He's got to get back to work. He had a meeting out here, so we switched times. I'm like, he's like, well, can we do, Randy, you can do whatever you want to do, and we will move.
Adaptable.
We are that for sure. You got the first read,
First read. I'll do that. So what's the schedule this week? We're on tonight. We're on tomorrow, but then it's basketball, basketball, basketball.
Well, no, it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's just me being gone. So you get CBS. You get Maggie and Pearl.
Oh.
From 4 to 6.
Okay, so
and I'm going to Vegas.
Oh, yes.
That's right. Monday, we are off because of the NCAA championship
next week. Yes. All right. First read is going to be Northwest Bank. Commitment you can bank on. Taking care of your personal business, mortgage, agricultural, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, many across the northwest side of the state. Northwest Financial Group earned the top workplace award for the 8th year in a row from Des Moines Register. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Also, take advantage of applying online for a loan from Northwest Bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment you can count on. Member FDIC.
Good job. Once again, and I don't remember if I said B-Style's coming in at 5:21 today. We'll kind of do a overview of maybe some local teams in the tournament. And he's going to be in here tomorrow, too, to just kind of look forward to what's coming up. Yep. Baseball's coming up. He's a big baseball guy, too.
Yep.
So that's kind of cool. We enjoy that. So just a couple of things. And somebody sent this to me late last week. And we both like to golf. They broke down Tiger Woods' career into three different categories.
Okay.
And it was really interesting. So from 1996 to the year 2000, he had 27 wins and 5 majors. It's pretty good.
That's really good.
2001 to 2005, he had 26 wins and 5 majors. From 2006 to 2013, he had 40 wins and 5 majors. He's had three different 4 to 5 year stretches in his career that put him in the top five, all three of those, of individuals. And they're like, I can't even explain that. And between that time, 5 miscuts. That's crazy.
What, I can't even, a scenario though, in those time frames that he would have missed the cut. Wow.
Yeah. But, incredible.
So, I mean, okay, with Tiger, he seems to be a catalyst that we always seem to chat about. Is he just going to be the name and out there and golf some term? Do you think he's going to be relevant again? Does he got a win in him, or is this physically not achievable?
I think he can, and it'd be a couple of places. I think he can win a Masters because Jack Nicklaus almost won a Master when he was in his 60s.
Right.
because he knows the course sets up. There's not really any out of bounds. You have to stay in places, but he's really good at that. And I still think that he can win a British Open.
Okay.
Because he has courses that sets its way. Can he win a U.S. Open? No way.
Okay.
The way they set the courses up, I don't think he can do that. Not that he can't hit the ball around and do that. I don't think he can walk it. That's the problem.
I agree.
And a PGA kind of depends on where they go. The PGA has always been his one because they never, they don't stick with the same courses. The British Open has like five or six courses. He's played all of them. He loves all of them. The Masters is just one course.
See, and I like the way, I guess I didn't even think of it that way. The way you say that about the Masters, it's not that he's out there golfing against other people. It's perfecting the course. Okay.
Right.
I've done this. Okay. I got to put it here. It's placement here. It's placement there. I mean, that's, and knowing it so well of how to beat the course, therefore.
Right. And he knows where he can put a ball
exactly.
And not get in trouble
exactly.
and all those things. So, but no, it's going to be difficult. These guys are just too good. I mean, I watched this past weekend on some of the shots they were hitting. It's just unreal.
Well, and I'm starting to hear more and more, whether it's propaganda or whatever, that the flame is kind of fizzling on the LIV tour anyway. I mean, it's people are that we wanted to talk about was the controversy of it. Now it's just golf, and we don't really want to talk about those guys.
And they're going to get their money, and they're going to have their money, and I really don't think the LIV guys care at all, but I think all the PGA guys care.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think the LIV guys are like, hey, if you guys don't ever want us back on there again, I've made my money and I'm good. It's just the crowd that went there is a crowd that doesn't like being around all those
guys.
Justin
Thomas doesn't care.
No. Nope. Jordan Spieth, those guys, they're never getting back in that circle again. That right now,
Ian Poulter, he didn't care.
No,
it's
after watching on Netflix,
Full Swing. Yeah,
he's like, hey, I can stay with my kids and my wife, but I make all this money. I'm good, and I don't care when anybody, they don't care. I don't know. It's if you like another one, Bubba Watson doesn't care. Bubba Watson wants to spend time with his family. Right. He gets to go play golf. He gets to play in shorts. It's not a big deal. So I think they'll all be fine. But if you want to know who runs golf right now, it's Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods. That's who runs golf.
That is very well put. Very well put.
I mean, they're starting a new golf thing that they're going to travel around and do. And they're doing all kinds of stuff together. And it's really cool. Right. And it didn't used to be that way. And then Rory figured out, I don't have to be the oddball. I don't have to be because I'm across the pond. All these guys like me. I like all them. That was my fault for being, I can't like anybody because I have to win. He goes, because that's what Tiger did. But Tiger did that on the course. He just didn't do that off the course. So, yeah, golf's not going anywhere, though. No. I mean, even watching that match play, there were people, they had good ratings. So, and that's really boring golf. But it's fun to watch, but it's just really boring. What else did I have? Officiating. I mean, I kind of went off on social media over the weekend.
When it comes to the NCAA tournament,
yeah.
Both
men's and women's?
Okay.
No, men's and all women's. Right. And here was my take on the game on which I can't. Now I'm going to have to remember which was the game that they called the foul right at the very end. That was.
You're talking Creighton and.
Creighton. Is that who it was?
Yeah, where it was they haven't called it for the entire game, and then
right.
it was quote unquote a tap on the back of the hand.
I'm watching that game, and I'm watching it going. It's like watching WWE. It's like they're having a wrestling match the whole game. You couldn't. I mean, if somebody was coming up to set a screen, not only were they setting a moving screen, but they had to set a moving screen because the defensive guys would just bump them and knock them out of the way. You got hit. You got over the back. You got slapped.
Creighton at San Diego State.
San Diego State. And I San Diego State winning, I thought it was awesome for that coach. I think it's awesome for that team. It's just you can't let that whole game go. I think today they said average foul calls in every other game were like 39 foul calls. And I think that one had like 19.
Right.
And you call that foul with 1.9 seconds.
And that is the biggest thing, that it was for the entire first half. That wasn't called for all but the last 30 seconds.
It wasn't called.
Then it was called.
Yep, and it was called there from a back official.
Right.
But
if you look at the angle of what it was,
I'm not saying it wasn't
a foul. I understand why it was a foul. But
my thing, if it wasn't a foul in the first half and it wasn't a foul in the second half, it can't be a foul.
We've talked about it, inconsistencies of let the game be the pace that the game is. Don't let the officials change the game.
Anything else you want to do, I'm okay with it. Just let it go into overtime and let them fight it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to make that call in the first 10 seconds of overtime, I'm okay with that.
Right.
Just not in the last 10 seconds in a game that these guys gave everything. They were tired.
Looking at some of these, I mean, maybe it's a mindset that I used to think that basketball games were always 84 to 87, you know, type of stuff. And that was a 57-56 game.
Randy, come in. Okay.
He looks at his phone. He points at me.
You don't even have to knock.
Let me get up out of the way here. Ugh.
Jump on in. It's like radio folks, Randy Wayhofer, Wayhofer, radio folks. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you, guys?
We're really good.
You need to turn up his microphone.
I need to turn on his mic. That'd be a good producer.
There you go.
And I've never been a good producer. Everything good?
Yeah.
You're a busy guy.
Fun time of the year. I heard you talking about my good friend Lee Cassell.
Yes.
He actually, the referee that made the call at the end of the Creighton game, friend of mine from college. He and I were the two math majors that like sports at the University of Miami. We had a bunch of classes together.
There you go. And I, what we just said, I have no problem if he'd have called that with a minute left in the game. It was just, they just let those guys play the whole entire time. It's hard to try to draw guys back from hitting and bumping and grinding. It was a foul.
Yeah.
I get it.
And I think you've made half the people mad no matter what you do in that situation.
Yep.
That if you let it go,
they're going to say, hey,
everybody on the other side is irate that they lost the game. And if you call it, then the other side. I thought they presented it perfectly in the studio when they went to Jay Wright and said, as a coach, I suppose how you feel about this call depends on whether it went against you or for you.
Yeah, and that studio group, boy, that's a good studio group. Right. That's a lot of people that know a lot of stuff. Before we get iCub baseball, it's kind of Caitlin Clark day in here. You guys saw that ahead of time. I mean, just think about that, because you're having another Caitlin Clark day.
Yes, she'll be there June 3rd at Principal Park.
That's even more popular, Caitlin Clark. I mean, she's opened up. I wouldn't even know how to quantify what she's doing for the state of Iowa, the University of Iowa, just in NCAA basketball, no matter men's or women's in general, what she's actually doing. She's the most recognizable athlete in NCAA sports.
And nobody's really arguing that.
No. You know,
I think that's the thing. I think people in Iowa have understood this for probably a couple of years, but we are now at the point where there is no disputing that she is all of those things on a national stage that we have assumed and accepted for a while now, locally, having been as familiar as we are with her. So, yeah, we're going to have her June 3rd. We've got a bobblehead that we're doing with her. That's a special ticket package.
Awesome.
That link will come out this week where you can buy the ticket and guarantee yourself the bobble. It won't be first X amount in. It will be buy the package. You get the bobblehead. And it's playing off her deep shooting, the bobblehead poses, her spotted up from the Iowa Cubs logo on an imaginary floor on the bobblehead stand.
People order tickets. That is a huge
June
deal.
June 3rd. Awesome.
June 3rd. Okay. We just looked at the weather. It's going to be what you expected, right? It's going to be ebb and flow. 80% ready to go, 100% ready to go. Where are we at down at Principal Park?
We'll be ready. The field is set. You know, the batter's eye is done. The permanent batter's eye is ready to go. So we'll be putting finishing touches. No matter how prepared you think you are, you're always putting finishing touches on things right up until the time. It's like hosting a party. You're never done until you open the door and the first guest arrives and getting things set. So we'll be ready. The field. We invested in grow mats for the field, like what they put over the greens at the golf courses in the winter. to make sure that March 31st we had an opportunity to have green grass and frost out of the field. So Chris and his crew have been out working hard in stadium operations. You know, the opportunity to turn the water on and wake up the stadium from the winter when you're still dealing with lows below freezing from time to time. You know, those are real issues that we face, but we've got the best in the business and our operations crew, and so we'll be ready. And what it looks like on opening day and what it looks like on June 1st is never exactly the same, no matter what season it is. So, I've never understood why NASCAR said the Daytona 500 was their Super Bowl. How can you be ready for the first week to be your biggest event? You've got to build up to something. So it won't be mid-season form on opening day, but it'll be really good and a lot of fun, and then we'll take it from there.
Anything new out in Principal Park?
So the batter's eye will be the visible thing, and construction is going to be ongoing out in the left field clubhouse area underneath. So because of COVID, we haven't let people enter through the north entrance in a couple of years anyway, so we'll continue to do that. But the Betfred Lounge and the outfield suites are available and operational. We'll just enter through the stadium for those. We've got plenty of new promotions that we can get into, but we've got it'll be coming May 1st. We're teaming up with a group called Sweet and Boozy that is alcohol-infused ice cream.
Just what I need.
You just made my wife's day.
Oh, no.
So that'll be something new. We've got a new special on Wednesday. So almost every Wednesday is a noon game. The one exception is July 5th. We figured the day after the holiday, a day game might not be all that popular. But every other Wednesday is a 12:08 start, and we're doing a Windy City Wednesday ticket bundle. So it's a reserve ticket, a Chicago hot dog, and an Over the Ivy Confluence beer for $23. So you get all those. So that's a great lunch. You come out on Wednesday afternoon. You get your ticket and lunch all built in. So that's new, and plenty more that I'm sure we'll get into.
All right, we're going to come back. Randy Wehofer in studio with us with the Iowa Cubs. Scotty's in here as well. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk. For real sports fans, don't miss anything. We'll be back. We got Iowa Cubs stuff to talk about. Be right back.
Sign up for 101.3ITY.org.
Brought to you by the Pennington Biomedical Research Foundation.
Brewed in Des Moines. You're listening to Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody, once again. Happy Monday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you live on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Happy Hour _SS, at Scott Brower _SS. And Randy, you are at
Randy Wehofer.
There you go. Easy as that. Randy Wehofer's in here with us with the Iowa Cubs. We're going to get back to him in just a second here. I have got this one. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. Provides designs, engineers, installs programs and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state of Iowa. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and learn more about an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. Okay, so we have to talk to you about the biggest thing that everybody seems to want to go down and see, and from looking at ticket sales and all going on, explain what that one is.
Talking about automatic balls and strikes?
Yeah, no. Talking about who's coming.
Oh, the team is actually relevant for very much this year. And we're going to do some promotional activity around that we don't often focus on who's going to be on the roster, because we have no control of who is on the roster. But based on the way they have built the major league team and therefore trickled down, we were pretty certain. So we're going to start the year with Brendan Davis and Matt Mervis, the last two minor league players of the year and the two of the top rated prospects in the organization. And then Caleb Killian is back to lead the pitching staff. He was one of our top pitchers last year and went up and down from Chicago a few times that the Cubs got from San Francisco in the Chris Bryant deal. So we're going to do bobbleheads for all three of them this year.
That's
those will
awesome.
Be first 1,000 people in the gate on three Saturdays, one June, July, and August. And those are on the promo schedule. So we haven't done player bobblehead since Taylor Davis. So that'll be exciting. Then we got news today that Christopher Morel has been optioned to AAA and is going to start the year with us, which was a little bit of a surprise.
I didn't think.
This is a product of, I think the opening day roster is maybe less relevant than it used to be in this regard. There is a maximum effort put into player flexibility and taking those who have options and using them so that you can retain as many healthy major league ready players as you can to begin the season. And when you go get Cody Bellinger and you go get Trey Mancini and you go get Dansby Swanson on your major league roster, that means Morel, who played second base and outfield, well, now you got proven major leaguers at those two spots. Nelson Velasquez is going to be down with us, and he was up last year because the outfield's full with Hap, and even Suzuki, though Suzuki is hurt, you've got Wisdom that can go out and fill some of that spot, and you need his thump in the lineup. So some of these guys who were in the big leagues last year or could be in another situation are going to begin the year here. We don't know how long that they'll stay. That's a pretty darn good AAA lineup, and if that's your first five, and I'm probably leaving some guys out off the top of my head and thinking about it. We've got Sergio Alcantara back, who was here 2 years ago. He's a terrific shortstop and was one of our top players in 2021 in the shortened season. I forgot he came in last night too. So I think we've got a chance to be really, really good on the field, which we don't really pay much attention to. But we know what the Cubs did leading into 2016 and the way they built those prospects in 13, 14, and 15 in the rosters that we have. Time will tell if they're good enough to win a World Series in Chicago. But I think the excitement and the expectation level on the guys that are with us are going to be similar to that in the way they were acquired and the way they're rated.
And that's a cool thing. Okay, so then let's go to automatic balls and strikes. I think it's time. I like it. The fact they're doing it at a AAA level, I like it even more. At least people get to get used to it.
Well, most of the rule changes that they're using in the major league level this year were tested in the minor leagues the last couple of seasons. We've had the pitch clock for 5 years.
And like you said, it got to a point where nobody even noticed.
Well, they started enforcing it last year, and that's when it made a big difference. And that's why it's in the big leagues this year, that they made a concerted effort to say, when the clock runs out, call it. You know, there's too many ways to wave it off and to step off, and the umpires didn't want another thing to get yelled at about.
Right.
And it became a point of emphasis. It got called early. Players and coaches adjusted, and game times were significantly reduced last year at the AAA level. Automatic balls and strikes was tested in the Pacific Coast League and the other side of AAA last season. It's been used in the Arizona Fall League the last 2 years, so they're going to expand it to all of AAA this year. And it'll be two systems. So on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the cameras will call the game into the earpiece of the umpire, and he will call what the computer tells him and the cameras tell him to call. On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the umpire will call the game, and there'll be a challenge system where the batter, pitcher, or catcher. No coaches, nobody on the bench, only those three challenges per team,
per game.
And so
I like that
you got to be judicious with it, because if you're the guy getting all the challenges, you're not going to be a very popular guy in your clubhouse if you're the one using up all your team's challenges and you're at bat. So they're not going to start it opening day, because they're having trouble. Our ballpark's ready, but they want universal launch around, and they're in winter climates and up in St. Paul and Buffalo and some of these other ballparks that are not complete with the installation of the cameras because of winter in those places. So it won't start immediately, but it'll start here pretty quick in the next couple of weeks as that all gets up and running. And I don't think most people will notice if they're not coming for the intent to see what this new thing is all about. I think if you're there on a company picnic and having a couple of drinks and enjoying a summer night, you'll have no idea that it's
It just makes it more interesting when they are using it too, because I like that. I like the fact that it's not the coaches. I like that it's players on the field. I like that it's not unlimited. You don't, like, if you get one and you were right, you don't get it back. You get three of them. I like that. I always have.
You may get three that you're incorrect. They may get a
additional.
It doesn't count, kind of like the challenge rule.
I'm okay with that, and I think that's a good thing. You know, going to Principal Park is already, no matter what, if it's just baseball, which it's what it's supposed to be, it's awesome. Tell us something about or more about some of the other things that are going to be going on throughout the season.
So we talked about the bobbleheads and we talked about Caitlin Clark. We're going to do three more three Marvel nights this year.
Yes.
Which is part of a national program. So Mother's Day weekend, we're going to have Captain Marvel and Black Panther on a Saturday night. In the middle of June, we'll do our Defenders of the Diamond, where we'll unveil our Marvelized Cubby Bear logo and have special jerseys and hats and the whole bit to go along with it. We'll have Hulk and Ant-Man at the ballpark that night, and then we'll do another night in July. We'll bring Spider-Man back, because every kid in the ballpark was dressed as Spider-Man last year when we had the characters out. We're doing a Jurassic Ballpark night in June on a Thursday, where we'll have animatronic dinosaurs thrown out a first pitch and some displays with a gentleman who does this tour. South Bend books them twice a year. Indianapolis books them three times a year. People in those markets can't seem to get enough of it. So that's
awesome.
Going to be a lot of fun. Well, we still got fireworks every Friday night. We're still playing catch on the field before games on Saturday. Kids are still running the bases on Sunday afternoon. You can still bring food pantry donations to get a free GA ticket on Sunday. You can still ride your bike to the ballpark and get special deals on Sunday afternoon. The Tuesday special, which was really popular last year, two tickets, two beers, and two hot dogs for $32. So that was great. And so it's going to be, I think if Mother Nature helps us out at all, it's going to be a really great summer. Group sales are going really well. The Betfred Sports Lounge now includes indoor and outdoor seats when you buy that table of four. It's unlimited draft beer that goes along with that package. The Bud Club is back. No price change for those two entities and the premium spaces. Picnics, skyboxes, groups, all that stuff has been going really well. And now that the season is upon us and the weather's starting to change a little bit, traffic on the phones and emails has been picking up for that quite a bit too. So we're really excited.
A little bit of construction you got going on the north end there. What would you say? It's kind of over left field in that area. Did they take any parking because of that? Any issues with that, with the construction going on, or is it?
No. During construction, the construction site was built out into the parking lot. We've reestablished that perimeter, the same it was for COVID. So that lane is open because that's the fire lane, so we can't block it. So that entrance to the north entrance where you would go in to go up to Betfred, that courtyard area is now enclosed, and that's the construction.
That's cool.
That is what's allowing us to create the new square footage inside the clubhouse area to create what Major League Baseball is asking us to have in terms of the size of your weight room, the size of your commissary, how many lockers you have, all the different things that we have for both the visiting and the home side. Eventually, that will reopen as a public way. The staircase will get redistributed so you can go up there and enter. And then next season, in between the outfield wall and the batter's eye, we will cover that space, and that will become player parking for secure player parking and the main entrance for the players to come
Excellent.
On.
Cool.
Okay, so I know you have to go. You got meetings to go to. Is that you're right?
I can go a couple more minutes if you don't have anything at the top.
Okay. No, we don't. We're going to go. We're going to have Randy. If Randy wants to stay, Randy stays. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We get another segment with Randy. We're excited. We'll be back right after this break.